Are you here this morning to receive something from the Lord? You know, otherwise it's really a waste of time, you know? But I'm thankful that no matter what vessel God chooses to use, if our heart is ready and willing to receive, the Holy Spirit will bring words of life to us that are exactly what we need. Have you ever talked to someone after a service and said, man, did you hear what the Lord was saying? And they said, da, 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 and they're telling you this, and you're like, I didn't hear that at all. Let me tell you what I heard the Lord saying. That's because God is a personal God, and God knows exactly what we need. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and the Holy Spirit is our counselor, and the Holy Spirit is our guide, and He is the one that will lead us into all truth if we give Him the opportunity. So this morning, let's just open up our hearts to the Lord and see what the Lord would have to say to us this morning, because the scripture promises us that His word never returns into us void, but it always accomplishes what it sets out to do. But listen, I heard T.D. Jakes say this one time, and I believe it's so true. You have a lot to do with how well I preach this morning. You have a lot to do with how well I teach this morning, because it's your faith and your demand on the anointing that's going to pull it forth. Will you believe with me this morning for utterance from the Holy Spirit? Listen, I'm just a man and I'm up here. We could swap places or whatever, but we both still got the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And I believe the Lord has a word, but you got to put a demand on the Holy Spirit. It's your faith. It's your faith that reaches out to touch God. And so you can sit there this morning and leave and say, oh, that Pastor Willis, that was really boring this morning, and I really didn't get much out of that. Or you could leave here saying, man, the Holy Spirit gave me a word, and it brought me life. It brought me life. So let's lift our hands this morning. Let's don't play church. Let's get connected to the one who we came here to meet with this morning. Just tell Him personally, I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me, but tell Him, I need to hear your voice this morning. I need a word from the throne. I need that river I was singing about to flow up on the inside of me. I need a word from you, Holy Spirit. We need life, and we need life more abundantly, oh God. We want every area of our lives and every area of our heart to be open to you, God, so that you can do in us what you need to do in us. God, we take down all of the no trespassing signs in our lives. We take down all of the no trespassing posted signs of our heart, and we give you free reign, Holy Spirit, to go where you need to go and do what you need to do and speak where you need to speak. Unstop our ears, open our eyes in the Spirit so that we could be a people that walk in life and life more abundantly, oh God. God, we open your word and we honor your word, but we pray that your Spirit would breathe life into the words that go forth this morning, that the words that come forth this morning in this house, just like the worship was and just like the prayer time was, would be moved by your Spirit, God, to change us and to make us into what it is that you want us to be. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everyone's familiar with the scripture in Ecclesiastes that says to everything there is a, everybody say it, season. And for there is a purpose for everything under heaven. Everybody say season with me. Season. We've been in a rainy season, hadn't we? We're really in the summer season. We have definitively four seasons in this part of the globe. We have summer and fall, or if you call it autumn, and we have winter and we have spring. We have seasons, and every season contains within it potential. Every season contains within it a divine purpose in this natural earth. God put it together, and God gave us seasons, and every season is important. And a farmer, anybody in here done any farming? Let me see your hand. Anybody done any planting? Anybody plant any tomatoes or flowers or something? Anybody planted a seed and you saw that seed grow? But anybody that's participated in any of that, or you've heard about farming, right? You know that for a farmer, he's not always in harvest season. You know that, huh? A farmer would be severely disappointed if every day he got up on his farm and he went out to his crops and he expected that every day, 365 days a year, he was going to see a crop that was bursting forth ready to harvest, because it's not always harvest season. Because in order for you to get to a harvest season, there has to be some other seasons that are leading up to the harvest season. And it's the same way in our walk with the Lord. You see, God made things a lot more practical and a lot more simple than the way we try to complicate them many times in the Christian life. He makes things very obvious to us. And he gave us seasons in the natural, and he also gave us seasons in the spiritual. Let's just talk about it for just a second. If you were a farmer and someone gave you a plot of land, and you decided that you were going to grow crops to earn money for you and your family, there would be some seasons that you would have to walk through. And the first season that you would have to walk through would be a season of evaluation, because you would have to go out and look at your land, and you'd have to see what you had. And you'd begin to look over it. And that season of evaluation would quickly turn into a season of preparation. Everybody say preparation. There is no planting the seed if you don't prepare the ground. When you walk out there and there's pine trees and oak trees and roots and all the other things that are on that land, there is a time and a season that you have to begin to prepare the ground. You have to cut down the trees. You have to grind the stumps. You have to bring the roots out of the ground. You have to prepare the soil. There has to be a time of preparation. It's not time to harvest yet. Then there's got to be a time to plant, right? If you don't plant nothing, you're not going to grow anything. And you've got to plant something. You've got to go out and do the hard work of putting something in the prepared ground. And then you put that in the ground, and guess what? You cover it up. And when you cover it up, you've prepared the soil, you've planted the seed, and the seed is in the ground. And then what happens is there comes a season of really of faith. It's a season of cultivation, right? It's a season of waiting. It's a season of watching. It's a season of protecting what you have put in the ground. It's a season. Do you know that every farmer, whether they know God or not, they have to have faith? You ever put anything in the ground that's totally disappeared? You can't see anything there. A tiny, tiny little seed with all of the weight of the earth up on it. And there has to be a belief and a faith to believe that that thing is going to germinate in the darkness. And it's going to sprout. And it's going to be able to push through thousands of times its weight. And it's going to be able to spring forth out of the top of the ground. That's a season of cultivation. It's a time that you have to irrigate the seed. It's a time you have to keep the dogs out of the flower bed, right? You got to keep people off of the seed, and you've got to cultivate the seed and make sure that it's taken care of. So there's seasons of preparation, seasons of planting, seasons of cultivation, and there's seasons of growth where that thing begins to grow. The Bible says first the blade, then the ear, then the full stalk of corn. How many of you know everything don't just pop out of the ground all at one time? It begins to push through and it begins to come out. And that's a wonderful thing when you begin to see some of the greenery come forth, but you don't yet see the fruit. There are seasons of growth and there are seasons of maturity. You have to wait. Anybody like to eat tomatoes? Anybody like to eat tomatoes? See, there's really two different kinds of tomatoes, right? Depending on the season. You can get tomatoes in the grocery store here year round, right, Stacy? But they don't always taste the same. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because sometimes you get gas tomatoes and sometimes you get vine ripened tomatoes. And one is much better than the other. See, gas tomatoes are tomatoes that are picked off of the vine when they're not ripe yet, when they're still green, so that they can be shipped and they can be taken overseas or wherever, and they're put in the bag. But before they put them out on the shelf, they gas them with carbon dioxide so that they go from green to red, so they'll look like something you would want to buy. But vine ripened tomatoes are tomatoes that are left on the vine till they mature. And the vine supplies them the nutrients and the life and the sap and everything that they need to become that wonderful tasting piece of fruit. There are seasons of maturity. So when that thing just begins to show forth, it's not time to grab it off the vine yet. It's time to wait. Everybody say, wait. There are seasons. Everybody say, seasons. There are seasons. And then there comes a day where it's time to get the bucket, get the satchel, whatever it is, and go out into that garden and begin to pick. There's a season of harvest. Listen, in our walk with the Lord, it's no different. And if we don't understand that the Christian life is a life that's full of changing seasons, we can get very frustrated. And we can get very discouraged, and we can get very sometimes angry with God because we are wondering why what it is that we put in the ground, we're not able to pick it yet. And it's because there are seasons or there are processes that God works through. And so many times we're willing to start the process. We'll put the, as Brother Donald would say, we'll put a seed in the ground, and then we get up tomorrow and we expect then that the harvest is going to be coming in. But it doesn't work that way. If you're going to go on a journey, you need to have some signpost. You need to know the direction that you're going to take. You need to know where you want to go, but you got to know how you're going to get there. In our walk with the Lord, the things that we're believing God for, the places that we want to go in God, the things that we want to see God change in our life, we've got to understand there's going to be seasons of preparation. And then there's going to have to be seasons of us planting. A farmer, I don't know what the percentages would be, but how many of you know that a farmer has a job and then the Creator has a job? See, there's certain things that a farmer can accomplish with the seed and with the ground and with his crops, but there's some things that he can't do. Paul wrote like this. He said, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Listen, we could plant it, we could prepare it, we could water it, we could do everything, but if God doesn't cause it to grow and to come forth, then we'll never see any abundance in our life. But He does call us to play a part. And just like the farmer, we have to play that part. And we can't go from preparation to maturation or preparation to harvest. We've got to be willing to go through the steps. And so I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes and Wednesday night again about one of those seasons in life. It's one of the seasons in life that many times Christians, if we don't understand where we're at and why we're there, then we'll give up in the process and we'll walk away before we get to our season of harvest. Some of us are in a wilderness season. That's like a winter season. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes about how to recognize the fact that you're in a wilderness season and what is the point of a wilderness season. Do you know that every season is necessary if you're going to have a harvest? Every season is necessary if you're going to have a harvest. A good winter is good for the farmer. A good spring is good for the farmer. A good summer is good for the farmer. Every season is necessary. And every season has its purpose. And we have to be a people that understand to everything in our life, there is a season. And then we got to be willing to do this. Embrace the season we're in. Embrace it. Embrace the season that we're in, because we know that as we walk with God and we trust God, even if that seed, we can't see any production, we can't see any change, everything looks just the same, that we can believe that even when we can't see it, we can embrace this season with joy because we trust God that He's doing His part. And we can do that. And so I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about the wilderness season. David said like this. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. That means every season. See, part of coming out of a season spiritually is maturing out of that season so that we're prepared to go to the next season. See, seasons in the natural are all based on what? They're based on basically, somebody else could probably give you this, but the earth rotates the sun once a year completely, right? And the seasons are based upon that. And depending on where you're at on the globe, the seasons are longer or shorter and so on and so forth. How many of you know that the seasons in the spirit are based on our rotation around the sun? The sun. And our relationship with the sun has everything to do with the seasons that we're in. And when we can learn how to embrace the season that we're in, and we can say, God, whatever it is that you're up to, whatever it is that you need to do, whatever part I need to play, I'm all in. And I want to walk through this season and allow you to prepare me, to cultivate me, to mature me, to prune me. Whatever you need to do in this season, God, I want to participate. I don't want to be an obstacle in the way of that. And so, as we talk about the wilderness season this morning, if you get one thing down in your spirit, I want you to get this down in your spirit. You've got to learn to find the joy in every season. You got to find a joy in every season. The scripture says that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. See, the wilderness season, go back to what it was talking about. Did you see all of the things that God wrought? All of the things that God worked? All of the things that God brought to pass that only could have been done in the wilderness season? See, we don't want the wilderness season because we don't understand what it's doing in our life. But when we understand the value of every season, we can begin like Jesus for the joy that's on the other side of the season. Here's something else you need to know. There is no season that lasts forever. There is no one season for forever. But see, the season has a lot to do with how you and I respond in the season. The length of time that we're in any given season has a lot to do in the spirit with how we walk out that season, because God always partners with us. So we got to find the joy in the season. We got to be a people that say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Even when it don't feel good, even when it don't look good, even when it's no fun. I can understand that as a mature believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, I understand that God has a plan and God has steps that He's ordered for my life, and that I can hold on to Him and I can believe that He is working in my life, in my marriage, in my children, in my finances, in my future, and I can trust Him. And because I know this season isn't forever, and I know that this season is producing something in my life that could not be produced in any other season. I mean, no, there could not be a harvest season if there was not a winter season. And so each season produces something in us that the other season couldn't produce in us. They are all interconnected. They are all interwoven. So as believers, we just have to know this. Anyone that tells you that if you get saved and start coming to church, everything is going to blossom all the time. How many of you were sold that bill of goods? Or at one time you believed that. I talk to people all the time and they say, well, I started coming to church. I started trying to pay my tithes and I got saved and all hell broke loose. And I said, it's par for the course. It's exactly what's going to happen, right? You have to understand, you have to expect that. But as a mature believer, we come to know that we hold on to Jesus. We trust Him. We walk forward, and we will come through this season if we'll allow God to work in our lives. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about the children of Israel. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Exodus. I'm going to read with you the text in just a few moments, but before we do, I'm going to read you verse 8 of Exodus chapter 3. It should be on the screen if you want to follow up there. The scripture says, so I have come down, this was God speaking, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Has God delivered you out of some things? Has God delivered you out of some things you couldn't have delivered yourself out of? Is God still in the process of delivering you out of some things in your life? He said, I came down and delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians, which was part of God's plan, but that wasn't the only part. The Bible says that he brought us out of the kingdom of darkness, and I'm so thankful that He brought us out of the kingdom of darkness, but it says He brought us into the kingdom of light. He didn't just make us free, He brought us into freedom in our lives. So He brought them out of Egypt, the scripture says. He brought them out to bring them up from that land to a good and a large land, to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. So no matter what land that we're in right now, God always has a better land that He wants to bring us into. No matter how good your walk with the Lord is, He wants to bring you into a better place with Him. No matter how good your marriage may be, God wants to bring you into a better place. No matter how bad your marriage may be, how many of you know He has a land flowing with milk and honey? And He brings us out so that He can bring us in. But between the out and the in, there is a process. And there are seasons. God took the children of Israel. He sent them a deliverer. He delivered them out of Egypt so that He could bring them into the promised land. But to get to the promised land, there was a season that they had to walk through. It was called the wilderness season. Everybody say the wilderness season. Let me make this statement that forever, every promise that God gives us is an invitation. Can you say invitation? Every promise is an invitation to a process. Let me say that again. Every promise is an invitation to a process. See, God says that I will do this for you contingent on what? The process. If you draw nigh to me, what? Then I will draw nigh to you. If you bring your tithes into the storehouse, what's he going to do? Open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you can't contain it, right? What did he say? If you call out to me in prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes much power available, effective in its working. We have a part and God has a part. God says, I'm bringing you out to bring you in. Every promise God gives us in our life, every promise of harvest is tied to a process of us walking through the seasons that are necessary to get there to see God's abundance in our life. And if we're not willing to take the steps and to work the land and allow God to do in us what he needs to do in us to bring us to a place of fruitfulness, we will never bear fruit in that area of our life. And there, all of us have areas of our life that we have allowed God to work the process and we have seen fruit come forth. But there are also all of us in this room that have areas in our life that we have got stuck in seasons. And we didn't understand the season, or we didn't understand what God was trying to do, or we blamed the wrong thing and we got stuck in a season. And that's why that season still looks like, that part of your life still looks like today what it did 20 years ago. And we've got to understand the seasons and what it is that God wants to do. See, for God to fulfill a promise in our life, it's contingent on him working the process through our life. And we've got to participate with that process. Can you say amen? So the wilderness season is a good season. The wilderness season is a good season. See, the scripture says that unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But how many know if it goes into the ground and it participates with that process and it doesn't give up? The difference between a real seed and me and you as being the seed is if we get buried up in there and we decide we don't want to participate in this process anymore, we can jump up and run off, right? But unless it falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it does, how many of you know that it will bring forth a great harvest? See, Joseph was promised the palace, but before he could get to the palace, he had to go through a process, right? David was anointed king, but before he could become king, he had to go through a process. And if you look at any of the lives of the great men or women of God in the Word of God, you will see that for every promise that was fulfilled, be it Isaac, for Abraham, whatever it is, there was always seasons that those men and women had to walk through before the harvest was brought to bear in their life. You think about all of them, and you think about the one that we're going to be talking about today. Think about Moses. Moses went through the wilderness on his way to become the deliverer of the children of Israel. It was on the backside of the desert where I'm sure he didn't really want to be or thought his life would end up there. But it was in that place that God's hand was on him in a way that could have never been on him in Pharaoh's palace. God had things that he had to work in him. There were things in him that had to change. And it was in the wilderness that God was able to do that to prepare him for his promised land. You even think about Jesus. What does the scripture say? The scripture says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the what? Into the wilderness to be what? Tried and tested by the enemy. And that was prior to he had spent 30 years of his life preparing for 3.5 years of public ministry. And it was right before his public ministry began that Jesus was led into a wilderness season in his life. And it was in that wilderness season that God accomplished something in Jesus that moved him into the next season of his life. So a wilderness season for us is not necessarily a geographical place. It may not, I'm not talking about where you're at now. God may move you to a place that seems barren, but it may not necessarily be a geographical place. A wilderness season in our life is a time and place in our journey that looks anything but what we're believing God for. Do you know what I'm saying? It's unpleasant. It seems unfruitful. It seems unproductive. It's, God, I'm believing for you to save my child and bring them back into the family of God. And you're in a season where it looks like that will never come to pass. That's a wilderness season in that area of your life. You're believing for a spouse. You're believing for reconciliation or restoration. And you, and in that moment, it seems like that's the furthest thing possible. You're in a place in your life where you're believing God to be free from some sort of an addiction. And it's in a season where that thing seems to have the strongest hold on your life. You can't see it. You can't feel it. It's a very unpleasant place, but it's a season that God is still at work. Can you say God is at work? God is at work, and we can trust Him in our wilderness season. I want to spend just a few moments this morning unpacking the wilderness season, because although it's not a pleasant place to be, the wilderness season is working a powerful purpose in our lives. A powerful purpose. So let me give you some good news this morning. You're either in a wilderness season in your life, isn't that exciting? Or you've just come out of a wilderness season in an area of your life, or you're about to go into a wilderness season in some area of your life. Because any area of our life that's submitted to God, He will be faithful to take us through the things that we need to go through so that we can bear fruit in those areas of our life. We want the promise, but God says you got to be willing to participate with the process. Real quickly, some things we need to understand. If you've got your notes this morning, number one is this. We need to understand that the wilderness is a place of preparation. Everybody say preparation. Preparation is defined as the action or the process of making something ready for use or for service. See, God is very much into preparation. We're not into preparation so much in our own lives. Like Joseph, we get our dream and we tell everyone what it is and we think we're ready to step into it, but how many of you know we're not? God gives us a promise and we're like, our God gives us a prophetic word. God gives us something that tells us what the end is going to be. And we think, oh, we're going to step right into that. But it doesn't work that way. We got to be willing to go from the promise through the process, from the promise through the process to see the fulfillment of the promise. See, there's more than just a start and a finish line when it comes to things with God. See, Joseph was thrilled about his dream of God's promise over his life. And he couldn't wait to get to the palace or see the fulfillment of the promise. But there had to be a journey that took place between the promise and the palace. And that was his season of preparation. How many of you know that God knows better what we need than we know ourselves? God sees much deeper into our lives and who we are than what we can see about ourselves. See, God knows that if we're not prepared, everybody say prepared, if we're not prepared for the promise could actually destroy us. It could destroy us and those that are associated with us. Have you ever thought about the fact that, I'm a believer and I'm a child of God. Why don't God just give me $1 million? You ever thought that? Or am I just the only shallow one in the room? I'm like, God, why don't you just give me $1 million? You know, you could trust me with it. Life would just be so much easier if I had $1 million. Really? You know what the statistics are on people that decide they're going to play the lottery and they win $1 million overnight and they haven't been prepared for the $1 million? Do you know that it's like astronomically high lives that are destroyed by the amount of money? See, that's because there was not a foundation laid in that person's life to be able to handle what was built on top of it. See, the wilderness season is about preparing us for where God's going to take us. As God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, how many of you know He still had some work to do to take Egypt out of the children of Israel? See, He had to prepare them for the battles that lied ahead. He had to prepare them to walk into the promises that lied ahead. Now, has anyone besides me ever happened upon a blessing in your life? And that blessing, instead of bringing you closer to God, it actually over time provided distance between you and God. That's because we didn't have maturity or we didn't have foundation in that area of our life. And God blessed us with something. And when He blessed us with something, our pursuit of Him, right? And our closeness to Him actually begin to wane as we begin to enjoy and live with the blessing instead of the blesser. See, the wilderness is a season of preparation. God will never take us to a place that our character can't sustain us. God will never take us to a place where our character can't sustain us. Now, that doesn't mean we won't take ourselves there. Has anybody ever bypassed God? Y'all aren't being very honest this morning. Okay, everybody, Simon says, raise your right hand and keep it up, because we're all guilty of all this. Have you ever bypassed God? Have you ever went your own route? Have you ever decided that, you know, this was something God wanted to do, but you found a better way to get there? And when you got there, you found out you should have took God's route, because it didn't wind up being a blessing. It wound up being a mess. Everybody say mess. I don't want a mess in my life. I've made plenty of messes in my life. You can ask my spouse over there, right? See, the scripture says this: if the foundation is not right, nothing built upon it will stand. The wilderness season is a season where God is working on us at our very base level. He is working on our foundation. Now, foundation work, I don't know if anybody in here does foundation work, but if you do foundation work isn't glamorous. Because in the end, nobody gets to see what you did, but it's there. And the better the foundation is, the stronger the structure will be. And the better the foundation is in our lives, the longer what it is that God wants to put on top of it will last. But God will not take us anywhere that He hasn't prepared us to be. And God was not going to take the children of Israel into a promised land that they were not yet ready for. See, so many times what happens is the promise of God comes to us in seed form, in an embryonic form. And then it's our job to be able to plant that thing and cultivate that thing and have faith to watch that thing come to pass in our life. And that's done in the wilderness season. See, the wilderness season is not wasted time. You may be in a barren state in your life right now, and it doesn't seem like there's anything you can do about it. There is something you can do about it. You can participate with what it is that God wants to do. Because God is working deep things in our lives. See, when David was on the backside of the wilderness over there, when all seven of his brothers were called up when Samuel came, when Samuel was looking to anoint a king for Israel, and he went, oh, surely this is the anointed Eliab. And God said, no, and no, and no, and no, and no, and no, all the way down. And David wasn't even invited to the party. He was on the backside of the wilderness. But he was out there in the wilderness, and what he was doing out there was God was preparing him to become king. He was doing things in him out there that he could not have done anywhere else. He was teaching him to play a harp. Why did he need to play a harp? Why did he need to be able to write poetry? Why did he need to be able to be inspired to write the book of Psalms? Because generations would need it, for one thing. It was being able to learn to play the harp then that opened the door for him to come into King Saul's court. Had he not been in the wilderness with all of that time to practice, if he would have sat around and said, God, I don't know why you've got me here. I don't like where I'm at. And I'm not going to play this stupid harp. This thing is not going to get me anywhere. But because he had a correctable heart and a humble heart and a teachable spirit and a spirit that would follow after his shepherd as he was being trained to be a shepherd of a kingdom, he learned to play that harp. And as he learned to play that harp in his wilderness season, it opened a door for him that brought him to the next stage of his life. He learned how to play the harp. What else did he learn to do? He learned how to swing a slingshot. Wow, this is exciting, right? Out there, this is so menial. I don't know, God, why do you have me here? Why do you have me working this job? I'm teaching you how to be thankful in some difficult circumstances. God, why would you allow this kind of boss over my life? Because I'm teaching you how to humble yourself. I'm teaching you to learn patience and long suffering and how to love the unlovely. God, why am I always stretched? Why can I never seem to be able to pay my bills? Because, son, I'm teaching you to trust me. To trust me. See, this wilderness season is working things in our lives that couldn't be worked in the land of promise. And he needs to prepare us for where he's taking us. The scripture says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? See, God is a God of preparation. Everybody say preparation. Preparation don't sound fun. Digging the footings, laying the block, pouring the cement, putting in the rebar, laying the foundation doesn't seem fun. But if we don't lay the right foundation, nothing that's ever put on top of that will stand. The most beautiful shutters, the nicest roof, all of that, we can put it up there. But if there is no foundation, it'll just be a matter of time till all of that collapses. And look, God loves us too much. God loves us too much to put us in a position where our lives will collapse. He's not going to burden us with more than what we're ready for. Now, let's look real quickly. We've got just a few minutes. I want to talk to you for just a few seconds this morning on how God uses the wilderness season to prepare our lives. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, we're going to read. And this is so amazing to me. We're going to look at three things specifically that the wilderness season works in our life. Are you encouraged if you're in the wilderness? Listen, embrace the season. Look at what God is doing. In Deuteronomy 8:1, it says, Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase. And let me just stop right there. This is a side rabbit trail, but every command that God gives us is so that we might live and increase. If you see the commands of God as burdensome, then you don't understand the heart of the command giver. He says, if you'll follow every command, then you will live and you will multiply. How many of you want to live and multiply? Abundant life, the blessings of God. And everything that he asks us to do is to be a rung in a ladder to take us where he wants us to go. He says, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert. If you're underlining it, underline that. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way where? Into the wilderness. Who led them into the wilderness? God would never do that. Yes, he would. It says these 40 years to humble you. Everybody say humble you. And to test you. In order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. One of the first things that the wilderness season works in our life is a time of testing. Everybody say testing. Now, nobody likes tests, I don't think. Does anybody like to take tests? School is back in session. Some people like to take tests. If you're a teacher, you like to give tests, maybe. But usually we shy away from tests. Here's the thing about tests. Does God test us so that he can find out what's in our heart? Have you ever thought about that? Does God need to know what's in our heart, or does God know what's in our heart? See, the season of testing is not so that God will know what grade we're going to make, because God already knows what grade we're going to make. He knows what's in our heart. He gives us a test so we can see our score. See, there are things in us that we don't know about ourselves. There are things that we think about ourselves that are untrue. And seasons of testing reveal the truth in our lives. Did anybody squeeze the toothpaste tube this morning? I hope you did. Raise your right hand. What came out of the tube? What was in there? Colgate, Close Up, Aqua Fresh, I don't know. Whatever was in there came out. See, seasons of testing squeeze the tube of our life. And what's in us comes out. And there are things that come out in seasons of testing that we never knew were in there. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody get squeezed this week like Miss Leah was talking about? And something came out that you wasn't expecting to come out. Somebody does you wrong and you thought you were the most loving person in all the world. And you were squeezed by their unloveliness. And what came out? Turn the other cheek. Did that come out? Seasons of testing reveal our heart to us so that we can surrender those areas of our heart to the Lord. See, he brings us into seasons of testing because we need to be tested. And how many of you know God never fails us? He doesn't fail us, because I have failed his test on many occasions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But how many of you know that he lovingly tutors us, gives us another opportunity by his grace? I teach part-time out at SAU Tech, and I met my classes for the first time again on yesterday, and I told them, I'm not going to ever test you on something I don't teach you. That's one thing you can know about me. I'm not going to throw you a curveball. If I expect you to know it, I'm going to teach it to you. How many know God's like that? God's not going to require something of us that he hasn't been willing to invest in us. The other thing I told him yesterday was this. I got all this from the Bible. They didn't know it, but right. I am in this for you. I want to help you succeed. I want you to be an A student. I want you to pass the class. But I'm going to teach the class in a way that you can learn what you need to learn so that when you come out the other end of this semester, you will have gained the knowledge that you need to equip you for what you're going to walk into. How many of you know he's the best teacher? And see, every test that he allows us to go through is not because he's some killjoy in the sky and he gets some enjoyment out of seeing us suffer. Okay, when I give tests to my students, it's not because I want to harm them in any way. But it's see, every test is an opportunity for us to take a step to the next level. See, there is no going to the next grade until you test out of the grade that you're on. And see, whenever we fail a test with God, by his grace, he lovingly tutors us and gives us another opportunity. And there are some of us in this room, are you thankful for the grace of God? Are you thankful that he didn't give up on us after the first test or the second test or the third test, but he continued to walk with us? And it might have taken 40 or it may have took 50. But David himself said, though a righteous man falls 7 times in one day, yet he will arise. Meaning you could fail the test 7 times in one day and God's grace is deeper still. All you got to do is read the Old Testament and look at how many times the children of Israel failed the test, time after time after time after time. But God continued to love them, and he continued to work with them, and he continued to give them an opportunity to pass the test. Secondly, in verse 3 and 4, it says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna. How many know if they wouldn't have been hungry in a place that they couldn't go to Walmart or Brookshire's, and they had to totally depend upon the manna, they would have never known God as their provider. How many of you know they knew God as a provider in a way they never could have known him had they walked right into the land flowing with milk and honey? Those huge grapes and all of the stuff that God had for them there, it was in the wilderness season that God showed them that they could trust him. And I'm getting ahead of myself, because what it says is, which neither you nor your fathers had known. I had to teach you, it said, that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. God said that the wilderness season is not only a time of testing, it's a time of teaching. There are some things that we think we know that we really don't know. You know, oftentimes, and it's all throughout this passage, he says over and over again, I did this to humble you. I did this to humble you, because many times we think a lot more of ourselves than what we really should. Let's be honest with ourselves. We think we know. We think we have the answers. We think more of ourselves than we should. The scripture says, be careful that you don't do that. God says that you need the wilderness season because it's a time that you've got to learn some things. Anybody besides me say, God, I'm willing to learn. I got my pencil out. I got my paper out, God. I'm ready to take notes. See, the wilderness season will last as long as it needs to last until we learn what we need to learn. Can I say that again? If I need to stay in the seventh grade for 10 years, I will be in the seventh grade for 10 years until I can learn what I need to learn so I can pass the test that I need to pass so that I am ready to have the foundations laid in my life so that God can take me to the next level. And we stay frustrated at God, and we stay frustrated with our circumstances, and we point the finger at the boss and the spouse and the kids and the bank account, and all the while God's saying, I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to mold you. And we want to run, and we want to change jobs, and we want to change spouses, and we want to go to a different city, and we think that if we change locations, that it's going to change our circumstances. But anytime we come back to God and we say, not my will, but thy will be done, he's going to put us back on the same path. Because he knows that that has not yet been worked in me. He knows that that has not been perfected in me. That has not yet been matured in me. And you say, God, it's been 10 years, and this is still dry and barren. And God said, it's up to you. It's up to you. If you will learn what I'm trying to teach you, and if you will pass the test that I'm putting before you, then you can take steps from where you are into where it is that I want you to be. The wilderness season. It's a time of teaching. It's a time of teaching. Some of us in this room right now are hard-headed. Does anybody want to vouch for your spouse in here this morning? How hard? Better not do that. They may not. Some of us are hard-headed. Some of us are blind. Some of us are deaf. Some of us are so one perspective in our life. How many of you know we would do good to, as the scripture says, humble ourselves? Humble ourselves. God, I don't know. Listen, if you're in a barren season in your life, the best thing that you can do, the best thing that I can do, is find ourselves on our knees on a daily basis and say, God, I'm yours. God, I'm yours. I embrace this season, God. I embrace the voice of the Holy Spirit. I embrace the leading of the Holy Spirit. And allow the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to you about what you need to learn. What does He need to teach you? And say this, God, whatever it is you want to teach me, do it quickly. I participate. I embrace. God, I need you. God, what do you need to work in me? God, what are you trying to put in me? And God, what is it that you're trying to take out of me? You know, all of us have things in our life that God needs to rid us of. There's roots in our life that God needs to pull out. There are things in our life that God wants to free us of. And all the time, all we can look at is the end game, the finish line. Well, God, why hadn't this come to pass yet? That's immature thinking. It's not understanding the seasonal approach, the processes of God. It's understanding that we, as His people, have to be willing to take the steps that He orders for us. The Bible says in Proverbs that God orders the steps of the righteous. How many know He orders our steps? Step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4, step 5. And we want to go step 1, step 10, step 15, 20. Ah, we're here. And it don't work that way with God. And we can stick our head in the sand and try to ignore things that God's trying to work on. We can turn a blind eye to things. We can be focused on the wrong things. Or we can be a people that find ourselves on our knees and say, God, whatever you need to work in me. God, whatever test you need to bring my way to reveal my heart. I mean, that's a good thing. The next time you blow it, say, oh, thank you, God, for that test. Thank you for that revelation. Have you ever got a revelation about yourself? And be like, I had no idea I would have acted like that. I can't believe I said that. How many know that that is a test failure? But what's important is what we do when we fail a test. When we don't pass it the way that God wants us to. How many of you know He's not the mean schoolmaster in the sky with a ruler waiting to crack our hand? No, He's a loving Father. It's like you've had bitterness and hatred in your heart towards that person. I can't take you into your land of promise until you learn to forgive. Until you learn to allow the Holy Spirit to pull that root of bitterness out of your life. And that hatred and that anger and all of that that's coming out of you, I just want to set you free from all of that. And we blow it and he don't, I can't believe you did that again. Just newsflash, He already knew you were going to do it to begin with. He says, my grace is enough. My grace is enough. Come to me. Come to me. Come to the throne of grace. I want to help you through this. God, I made the same mistake again. I can't believe myself. And God said, my grace is sufficient. Come to me. Seasons of preparation. Wilderness season is a good season. It's a good season to be in because God is teaching us. And He's testing us. And the last part of this is this. He's correcting us. The scripture says this. I'll read the last scripture and we'll close here. He says this. Let me find it in my notes. Verse 5 of chapter 8 Deuteronomy. He says, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord God disciplines you. Boy, that's an encouraging word to end on, isn't it? Everybody say amen. Bring on the discipline. Observe the commands of the Lord your God. Walk in His ways and revering Him. But see, the book of Proverbs gives us clear insight to this. It says, for whom the Lord loves, He corrects. For whom there's a difference between correction and punishment. Do you know that? See, some of us, the only thing that we can equate that with is punishment. Punishment is retribution for something we did wrong. Punishment is the meeting out of retribution. God's not into punishment. He's into being a good father and correcting us. See, correction is really direction. That's what correction is. See, when a vine gets off of the trellis in the vineyard and it begins to run along the ground and begin to take up roots in the dirt where it gets covered with dirt and soil and it can't produce any fruit down there, what a vine dresser does is he disciplines that branch. He lovingly pulls it up. He lifts it up and he reties it to the trellis where it needs to be. He redirects it. That's called correction. How many of you are thankful for correction in your life? We need the correction of God. There are things in our life that need to be corrected, and we can trust our loving Heavenly Father that He wants to test us and to teach us and to correct us, all with a very pure heart, all with a loving heart, all because He knows it's all everything. He will never ask anything of us that we don't need in our own life. How many of you open to those things in your life this morning? That's point one out of six. So we'll do five on Wednesday night. Could we stand to our feet real quick? What I feel like in my heart is that there are some in this room this morning that you've been frustrated with where you are in your walk over things that you had started out believing God for and you haven't seen them come to pass, or things that you really thought would turn out differently than what they have. And you're in a season that you don't understand. And God wants to bring clarification to where you're at. He wants to help you understand. You know, God's never at fault. God's always the answer. God's always the answer. I was spending some time with a wife the other day who lost her husband to a battle with cancer, and they had really been believing God for healing. And the one thing that we could agree on, and she had such a sweetheart, and it was, God's never at fault. God is the answer. God is always the answer. God is always our help. So if you've been frustrated at God, it's a good morning to release your frustration towards God. God's never at fault. But the Lord wants to help us come into a place where we have a humble heart that says to Him, God, whatever you need to do in me. And you know what you may need to do? You may just begin to lift up a praise in this season. Because what happened in the wilderness season was the children of Israel began to murmur and they began to complain about where they were. And they began to say, well, you know, you brought us out here to die. At least back in Egypt we had meat and all this stuff. And all that was a lie anyway. They hated it there. They were in bondage there. But what they did was they began to lose control of their mouth, and they began to lose control of their mind, and they began to say things and do things that dishonored God. And when we do that, we put ourselves in a place where God can't move on our behalf. So maybe you've been murmuring and you've been complaining and you've been in a state of frustration with God, and today is a good day just to repent of that and put it before the Lord. But let's just close our eyes. Father, we thank You this morning, God, that You're a faithful God, and that You order our steps, and that You're at work within our lives. And God, that we can always trust You, and we can always know with You, God, that You have our best interest at heart. And God, that Your power and that Your anointing and Your Spirit, God, that is with us and that is within us, God is faithful and it is true. And God, we thank You this morning that we can rejoice just like Jesus did for the joy that was set before Him. God, we choose to rejoice and we offer You a praise, God, in the midst of our dilemma, God, in the midst of our circumstance, God, in the midst of our wilderness, God. We will be like David who lifts up a praise to our God. We will encourage ourselves in the Lord and we will say, God, You never meant for this season to last forever. God, You're restoring hope in the wilderness season. God, that we would not be hopeless, but we would be people that are filled with hope. That we know, God, that as we fall into Your arms, God, and as we open our heart, God, as we humble ourselves, God, as we say, come and have Your way in us, God, open our eyes, God, open our ears, God, soften our hearts. Do in us what You need to do, because we want to go where You want us to go. God, I thank You for renewed hope. God, I thank You this morning for repentance. If anyone in the house this morning knows that you just haven't been handling your season correctly, why don't you just tell the Lord that right now? You know you hadn't been handling your season correctly. Let me tell you one of the keys to knowing whether or not you've been handling your season correctly. If you've been handling your season incorrectly, then your eyes are on everybody else and everything else besides yourself. But you know when you're walking through your season correctly when the cry of your heart is, God, do in me what You need to do in me. God, I see the beam in my own eye. God, work this beam out of my eye. God, what else in me? What deeper do you need to work? God, what do you need to change? God, help me be humble. God, help me be correctable. God, help me be teachable. God, help me to have hearing ears. Help me to follow your voice. Father, we repent of hard-heartedness and we repent of living for self. God, we surrender it at the cross this morning. And we thank you, Father, that you're restoring us to a place of walking humbly before you so that you can do all in us, God, that you need to do in us. God, I just pray a blessing, God, on these people today. God, I thank you, God, that no season lasts forever, but you are faithful for everything there is a season. For everything there is a season. We thank you that there are fruitful seasons ahead and that we can find joy in the season that you have us in. Lord, we love you this morning in Jesus' name.